Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Aleph. And we begin on the very last line of Samach Omud Beis with the quoting of the Mishnah where it said, Lo biyachid bizman she'ein birag lo maka, that an individual is not allowed to go on a Shabbos with a sandal that's on one foot unless he has a maka. So that's what the Mishnah said. If he doesn't have a maka, he can't go out with one sandal. And Rashi on the Mishnah, and Rashi over here is going to tell us two reasons why that is the case. Because the person will be suspected that he's carrying the other sandal in his pocket. And therefore it's marisayin, it doesn't look good. Or alternatively, that he's going to be made fun of. Why are you wearing only one shoe? Why are you wearing a sandal, a single sandal? He's going to take it off and carry it, dalet amos and rishus harabim. So those are the two reasons. So the Gemara starts, now we turn to Samach Aleph from Aleph, and says, Ho yesh biraglo maka nofik. If a person does have, in fact, a wound on his foot, so then he can go out with one sandal because people will understand. Nobody, as Rashi says, nobody's going to be making fun of him because they'll see he has a limp. And even if they don't know that and they would make fun of him, he's still not going to take off the shoe because the shoe is needed here to protect him from either pain or injury, as we'll see in a moment. And in the situation where they're suspecting that he's hiding it, the other shoe in his pocket, they'll see that he has a limp and he's not going to be concerned. There's no Maris Ayin concern. So the bottom line is he can go out with one sandal if he has a problem with his foot. He has a mark on his foot. So Gemara says, Bahai minahu nafik. With which foot do you put the sandal on? Do you put the foot on the leg that has a wound on it, or that has some problem with it, or do you put it on the other leg? So interesting question. So Rav Huna gives the answer. Ba'osa sheish b'maka. You put it on the leg that has the maka, because in this situation it's protecting that leg. What do you see? Alma kasover sandal l'shum tzar of it. According to Rav Huna, the person is wearing this sandal over here to protect the leg. He has pain, and this will protect him. Every time he steps on the ground, he hurts. They would walk barefoot, so he wears this one shoe to protect his bad leg. On the other hand, v'chia barav amar, no, but also she'ein b'maka. You bedavka put it on the leg that doesn't have the maka. The leg that has the maka, you are not going to put it on because it hurts you. So you wear it on the other leg because it makes you feel good on the other leg. Alma chia barav holds alma kesavar l'shum tanog of it. That the reason that you wear it is because of pleasures. Rashi says adam istanis. He's a fussy type of a guy. Umakir mitoch ma'isav shenoal nalo achas shu istanis. And people are going to see that he goes a fussy guy, so he wears the leg, the one shoe on the leg to keep the good leg comfortable, and they'll know that he can't wear it on the bad leg because it's too painful. In any event, he wears the shoe on the good leg according to Chia Barav, on the bad leg according to Rav Huna. And that's what Chia Barav said, Alma Kesavar L'shum Tanog Ovid. V'zu Yesh B'maka, Makosa M'l'chachas Alel. And everybody will see that the other foot has a wound on it, and nobody's going to give him a hard time. So Gemara says, V'afrav Yochanan Sovar Lo Aloha De Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Huna that you wear it on the bad leg. Where do we see that? The Omele Rav Yochanan L'Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Rav Yochanan told his Talmud Rav Shemen Bar Abba, do me a favor, Avli Misanoi, go get my shoe for me, and Yoavle the Yomen. And he got for him the right shoe only. Now, Omele Rav Yochanan tells his Talmud Rav Shemen Bar Abba, Asisu maka, you made me into a person that has a maka. Rashi explains, we're right next to us, from Yochanan Svirule, Da Noel Sandalim Noel Shel Simol Tchila. When you put on shoes, and this is going to lead us into discussion, how you put your shoes on, you're supposed to put on the left shoe first. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. And only afterwards, V'yachakach Shoyomin. And therefore, when Rav Shemin, his Talmud, gave his Rebbe the shoe, a Rebbe supposed to be served by his Talmidim. So the Talmidim, Rav Shemin Bar Abba, in this situation, brought the Rebbe the shoe. So he only brought him the right shoe. So he said, because of Taiktach, Tahok Kamele, Imkain, She'enol Zeh, Shuvlo Enol, Shosmol, Achrov. If you only give me the right shoe, I can't put on the left shoe afterwards because you're supposed to put the left shoe on first. And therefore, I'll go out only with the right shoe on. And people will see me and they'll think that I have a maka on my right foot because you put the shoe on the side of the maka. So this is the proof that Rav Yochanan must hold like Rav Huna that you put the shoe on the foot with the maka. So that seems to be a riot. The Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Huna, but the Gemara says Viduma, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, he holds Kechia Barav. Rav Yochanan really holds that you put the shoe not on the foot that has the problem, but on the other foot. Maybe that's how his sphere lay. And this is what he said to him. Asisa shall small maka. You're making my left foot into a foot with a maka, because I'm only going out with the right foot the shoe on the right foot, so people are going to see that my left foot has a makkah, or that's what they're going to say. So we don't have a resolution. Rav Yochanan could hold like either Rav Huna or like Chiya Bar Rab. The Gemara now tells us, what was Rav Yochanan's svar over here that he says, if you only give me the right shoe, I normally put on the left shoe first, so therefore, v'yazda Rav Yochanan taimei. This is Rav Yochanan's svar. Adam Rav Yochanan kitfilin. Kach minolin. The way you put your tefillin on, that's the way you put your shoes on. Just like the tefillin go on your left hand, based upon the drash of the pasuk, yod cha, which is spelled out fully, not with a chav sofis, but with a chav hey at the end, yod cha, yod dalet chav hey, as you see in Rashi over here. So therefore, it tells us, yad keya, you put the tefillin on the weaker hand. And therefore, like the tefillin goes on the left hand, your shoe first goes on the left foot. My tefillin b'smol, af minolin b'smol. You start with the left foot. Obviously, tefillin don't go on the right and the left, but the fact that the tefillin are on the left, so too the shoe starts with the left. Gemara questions this. Meisvei, kishu noel, when you put your shoes on, noel shel yamin, first you put the right shoe on. V'achekach noel shel smol, which is the way the halacha is brought down. So a person puts on his right foot shoe, and then he puts on his left foot's shoe. So then, that goes against what Rav Yochanan said. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, well, you have Rav Yochanan and you have this Braisa. So Rav Yosef says, Hashto de Tanya Hachi. We have a Braisa that says, put on your right foot first, your right shoe first. If you have Rav Yochanan, Hachi, and Rav Yochanan says, no, you put your left shoe on first, the Avad Hachi, Avad. Udi Avad Hachi, Avad. You can do whatever you want. It's a field of choice. You can follow the Braisa or you can follow Rav Yochanan. The only problem is, Rav Yochanan is an Amora. So how can he go against the Braisa? So I'm like, Abaya. Abaya says, maybe Dilma Rav Yochanan Hamasnisin Lo Havishmiele. Maybe Rav Yochanan didn't hear this Braisa. And in fact, Vihavishmiele, if he had heard about this Braisa, well, as I mentioned many times, all the Ramborim didn't know all the Braises. They knew all the Mishnayis, but they didn't know necessarily all the Braises. And maybe Rav Yochanan wasn't aware of this Braisa that says you put the right foot on first, the right shoe on the right foot first. And if in fact he had heard about it, Vihavishmiele, have a hard debate. He would have retracted his position. Alternatively, Vinami Shmiele, maybe he did hear it. Uksavar, and he holds, and Aloch Yosef Mishnah, he doesn't hold like that Braisa. So, how do we know over here that you can do whatever you want? Some Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Yari Shemaim, Yotze Yidei Shnei. A person who's a Yari Shemaim can in fact fulfill both the Braisa and Rav Yochanan's opinion. How does he do that? And who's an example of Yori Shemayim? Umanu Mar Bereda Ravana. Mar Bereda Ravana would be an example of such a Yori Shemayim that he did both. Now, how can you put the shoe first on your left foot and simultaneously also put the shoe first on your right foot? So one says, Hechi Ovid, how do you do that? So one says, listen as follows. Siyem Diyamine, when you put your right shoe, put it on first, on your right foot. Velo kata, but don't tie it. If it has laces, don't tie the laces. And then the siyem Dismali, and then put your left shoe on, the kata, and tie your left shoe first, the hadar kata Diyamine, and then tie the right shoe. And this is what's brought down in the halacha. When a person puts on his shoes, you put your right foot on first, don't tie it. You put your left foot on, then you tie the left shoe, and then you tie the right shoe. Tosus brings down. The person doesn't have shoes that are tied. He has slip-ons. He has no laces. So then you put the right shoe on first. That's not a problem. Tosus in Dibra Maskel, the CM de Smoli Vikotar, points this out. Okay. Amr Ravashi, Chazin al Rav Kahana, the low carpet. I saw that Rav Kahana was not carpet in this. What does it mean he wasn't carpet in this? Rashi doesn't tell us. But if you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel over here, he brings down that the Asker Ravashi, Ravashi saw the Zimnim Chazinel Rav Kahana, the Noel Shel Smol Tchila. Sometimes he saw him put the left shoe on first, the Achakach Shel Yamin, and then put on the right shoe, the Zimnin Chazina, and other times he saw the Noel Shel Yamin Tchila, the Achakach Shel Smol. The low carpet. In other words, he wasn't particular. Sometimes he did right left, and sometimes he did left right, and Rabbeinu Hananel says, "V'kaimalei kavasi the Ravashi da'u basra," and we follow Ravashi because he's the later authority, and we normally have a rule that the halacha is kibasra. However, in Shulchan Aruch it is brought down that one should try to put the right shoe on first, and then the left shoe, and then tie the left shoe, and then tie the right shoe. We give the tying preference because that's following the tefillin. And we give the putting on first because in general, we always do everything with the right. We give preference to the right. That's your stronger hand. When you make a bracha, you're supposed to hold the cup in your right hand, etc. And now we have a little bit more about this. Tanur Rabbanan. We have another braisa that says as follows. Kishu Noel, when you put on your shoe, Noel shall yamin first. V'achekach, Noel shall small. Then put on your left shoe. So in this statement, this brisa says that you first put on your right shoe and then your left shoe. Because you cholets, but when you take them off, cholets shall small. You first take off your left shoe. Rashi points out that this is a cover for the right. And in all of them, we say do the right first, but when it comes to taking off, then you do the left first, because that means that the right stays on longer. That's the cover for the right. So when you take off your shoes, you first take off your left shoe, and then you take off your right shoe. When you're washing yourself, you're supposed to wash your right side of your body first. This brought down la'alocha. So you wash your right side of your body, and then you wash your left side of your body. When you're anointing yourself, you anoint the right side first. Again, this is all a cover. You do the right side first. So this is true for everything in general. When you make a bracha, as I said, you're supposed to hold the cup in your right hand. If somebody wants to do his entire body, so then you do your head first. Why? Because the Rosh, so to say, your head, is the king of all the Evarim. So when a person washes himself, he anoints himself, you start from the head, and then you go to the right side, and then to the left side. That's the proper way a person should conduct himself. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, you're not allowed to go out with tefillin on Shabbos. So obviously we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, but the Gemara is saying, Amar Rav Safra, lo teima, aliba the man di Amar, Shabbos lazim on tefillin. This isn't only for those that say that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, and that's why you don't wear it on Shabbos, because there's no reason to. But even El Afilu Man Di Amar Shabbos Zman Tefillinu, there is an opinion that says that you're supposed to wear your tefillin on Shabbos. And even according to that opinion, you don't wear your tefillin outside in the Shus HaRabim on Shabbos. Lo Yetze, why not? Because Dilma, because you may go out into the Rishus HaRabim, and you may have to go to the bathroom. And when you go to the bathroom, Rashi says, Dilma, shokiluhu mereisha, you have to take off your tefillin shel Rosh in Bolufanos if you have to go to the bathroom. Umatilu dalad amos, and therefore you're going to carry dalad amos Rishus HaRabim. You're supposed to take it off before you get to the bathroom, and you're going to carry it, and therefore that's a problem. So therefore, don't wear your tefillin out into the Rishus HaRabim. Now that's the girsa that we have. The girsa that Tosfos has is Dilma Mifsake, that you may break the tefillin, the strap will break. You come to carry it. Clearly, Tosfos says Rashi did not have that girsa, and he brings out from the Kadosh Mikraviel to explain this, that actually there were two girsas over here. Number one, you may go to the bathroom and you'd have to take off your shel Rosh. But there is an opinion that says you can wear your shel Yad in the bathroom. Not everybody agrees to that. So therefore, according to the opinion, it says you can wear your shel Yad in the bathroom, it's only shel Rosh you can't wear in the bathroom. So then the Kadosh Mikraviel says that's where you have the girsa, Duma Mifsake, for Asilasunya Dalad Amas Rusarab, that's talking about the shel Yad. And not going into the bathroom with it, you'll come to carry the shel Rosh, and that's how you can reconcile the two different girsas. In any event, the Gemara says that that's the first version that we have of Rav Safra. But then we have Ika de Masila Sefer. The Rav Safra statement is going on the Sefer. What is the Sefer? It says if a person goes out wearing his tefillin on Shabbos, so v'miyotza eino chayv chatas, it's not in the sederaisa because you're wearing your tefillin. So Rav Safra comes along and qualifies it. And he says, "Amar Rav Safra, lo teima aliba the man di Amar Shabbos man tefillinu." Don't think this is only according to the opinion. It says you're allowed to wear your tefillin on Shabbos. You're mechuyav to wear your tefillin on Shabbos, and that's why it's called a malbush. El afilu man di Amar Shabbos laz man tefillinu. Even according to the way we passing it, you don't wear your tefillin on Shabbos. Nevertheless, eino chayv chatas. It's still not a capital crime over here of carrying on Shabbos that you be chayv chatas. Why? My time? Because derech malbush avida, because you're still wearing it, even though you're not obligated to, it wouldn't be an issur deraisa, but it would be an issur derabanan, the rabbi said, because you may come to carry it, dalad amos in rishus harabim, as we pointed out. Now we go into a discussion about amulets, kameyas. So we quote the Mishnah, v'loba kameya b'zman she'eino mina mumcha. You can't go out with a kameya, an amulet that they used to wear for medicinal benefits. It didn't work directly. It worked through skula. It worked through metaphysical, supernatural types of methods, not through medicinal, normal medicinal methods. So you're not allowed to go out with a kameya she'eino mina mumcha that isn't from a mumcha, from an expert. And the Gemara qualifies this as amar papa lo tema. Ad mumcha gavra umumcha kameya. You don't need to have both the mumcha writer of this kameya as well as the kameya itself having been proven. We'll talk about this in a moment. What does it mean that the writer is proven or that the kameya itself is proven? Eli says, kivon de mumcha gavra. If the one who wrote it is a professional, he's considered a mumcha, an expert. Afal gavra lo mumcha kameya. Even though this particular kameya has not yet been proven. And I'll show you that that's right. He says, Daikanami, look at the Mishnah carefully. Diktani, what did the Mishnah say? V'lo b'kameya b'zman she'eino min ha-mumcha. It says if it doesn't come from an expert. It didn't say v'lo ketani b'zman she'eino mumcha, that the kameh itself isn't a mumcha. Shvami, no, that's a good raya. If the person who wrote it is an expert, then you can go out with it, even if that kameh itself that he's writing has not yet been proven. And this will further now go into a discussion about how these kamehs work. Tana Rabban, the Tosefta, the Braisa tells us, Ezeu kameh mumcha. Give me an example. What does it mean, a kameh that is a mumcha? So the kameh itself is proven to be a successful amulet. Kol sharipa, it healed somebody, the shina, and it got them a second person better, and the shilesh, and it got a third person better. This is a kameya that has been proven. It worked on three different people. Echad kameya shel ksab, and this is true whether the kameya is a written kameya. The echad kameya shel ikarin. They used to have various herbs or roots that they would also use as a kameya. They didn't work through direct medicinal benefit, but they worked through this supernatural, metaphysical type of a way. So this kameya didn't have to be written. It could even be from roots. Likewise, echad chole sheyesh bo sakana ve'echad chole she'en bo sakana. It didn't have to be only for the sickest of sick. It didn't have to be for a person that would be on death's bed. He would be dying from this illness. It could even be for a person that had an illness that wasn't a deathly illness. Nevertheless, you're allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos if it's a proven kameya. Likewise, lo shenichpe, it's not only for somebody who's already sick. A nichpe is a person who has something like epilepsy. He falls down suddenly. So it's not only for curing somebody, elo shelo yichpe. It's also, Rashi brings down, if the family has epilepsy, they recognize a certain genetic illnesses in the family, such as epilepsy. So they give this kameya to this kid or to this person that he shouldn't get an epileptic attack. So it works not only shenichpe, if you have it, ela shelo yichpe, that you shouldn't get it as well. These kameyas, if they're proven, can be worn. V'kosher umatir afilu b'rishus harabim. You can tie it and untie it, even in the rishus harabim, because nobody's going to take it and carry it to Alad Amos because you need this to survive. So therefore, there is no concern. The rabbis didn't have to make a gzer over here that maybe you're going to carry it to Alad Amos which is a rabbin. However, there is a caveat here. Uvavach l'yikshirenu, and we turn to the Yom Beis, as long as you don't tie it with b'sher, a sher is, Rashi says, an etzoda, which is a bracelet, or a tabas, or a ring. So you can't tie the amulet onto a bracelet or a ring. Why not? And go out with it in the Rishus HaRabim, the Yetzibah Rishus HaRabim. Why? Mishum Maris HaAyin. Because it looks like you're actually carrying it. Why? Rashi explains, the Lo Mechsei Kaman Deboya Le'Refua, it doesn't look like you're using it for refua purposes when it's attached to a bracelet or to a ring. It looks like a charm. Ela L'Tachshit. However, V'Lav Tachshitu, but it's not a Tachshit. Ela Machmas Dagas Choli. You're only wearing it for Choli. So therefore, don't go out with it, even though you'd be allowed to, as an amulet, don't go out when it's attached to a ring or to a bracelet because of Maris Ayin concerns. Okay, so now we basically have said that in order for it to be considered a kameya that is a proven kameya, it had to work three times. But lav dafka for three different people. It could have worked three times for the same person. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, we have another brayse that says, Ezu kameya mumcha, what's the definition of a proven kameya? So he says, kol sharipe shlosha b'nei adam kiyachot, that it healed Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. It healed three different people. That same kameya had to have healed three different people. Sharipa, gimel b'nei adam kiyachot. And the original Tana Rabbanan that we had, the first brayse, seemed to say that it just had to heal even one person three times. So Gemara says, lo kasha, hol machve gavra, hol machve kameya. You know what it's talking about? It depends. The first brayse that we had, when it healed the same guy three times, that showed that that kameya was effective because it healed that person three times. So that shows that that kameya is a good kameya. But the second brayse that we had, that just showed when it healed Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, that one guy is a good writer of kameyas. He didn't use the same kameya for each of them. He wrote a kameya for Reuven. He wrote a kameya for Shimon. He wrote a kameya for Levi. So therefore, in this situation, he has been proven to be a good kameya writer. But each of those kameyas only healed one person. So therefore, that doesn't tell you anything about the kameya. So that explains the answer over here, the difference between the two brises. The second brise that we brought down over here says that that guy's a good writer of kameyas because he healed Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. But each of them had a different kameya, so it doesn't tell you anything about the kameya. And the first brisa, where a person was healed three times, that could even be the same person. That shows that the kameya is a good kameya. Amar Papa. Now Rav Papa is going to tell us three things that are pashut, so he can set himself up for the boy Rav Papa that's kind of afterwards. So he says, number one, pshitali, it's clear to me, it's obvious that tlos kameya, l'tlos gavrei, tlos or tlos or zimne, that is going to show ismachi gavra v'ismachi kameya. Now what did he say over here? He says, if you have the kameya writer over here, and he writes three different kameyas, and he uses it on three different people. So he uses Kameya number one on Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He uses Kameya number two on Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He uses Kameya number three on Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So what do you see? This guy has been shown to be an expert, Ismachi Gabra. He's healed three times. And each of his Kameyas has healed three times. So each Kameya is a good Kameya as well. So when you have this setup over here, that he wrote three Kameyas, each one was used on three different people, that's Tlosso Tlosso Zimne, so then you've proven that he's a good Gavra, he's a good expert, and the Kameyas are good Kameyas. When you have Tlosso Kameya L'Tlosso Gavre, his second Poshut case is, if you have the person who writes the Kameyas, wrote three different Kameyas for three different people, so he wrote one for Reuven, one for Shimon, one for Levi. Each one is a different one. So, Chad, Chad, Zimna, each of them cured one time. So, Kameya A healed Reuven. Kameya B healed Shimon. Kameya C healed Levi. So then, what does that prove? Shows he's a good writer. So, Gavro Ismachi, he's healed three people. So, he's a proven expert. However, the Kameyas only healed each one one. A only healed one person. B only healed one person. C only healed one person. So, Chad Kameya doesn't do anything. Therefore, Kameya lo Ismachi. So the Kameya has not been proven. None of those Kameyas are proven. And the third thing that's partial to coin to Rav Papa, if a guy wrote Chad Kameya L'Tlosa Gavre, he wrote one Kameya, A, and he gave it to Reuven and it worked. He gave it to Shimon and it worked. He gave it to Levi and it worked. That shows that the Kameya is a good Kameya. Kameya is Machi. However, it doesn't tell anything about him. He only wrote it one time. The same Kameya A was used for three people. He healed three people. That's a good Kameya, but it doesn't guarantee that the next Kameya he's going to write is good. So therefore, the Kameya is Machi. The Kameya is proven. But Gavrilo is Machi. But we don't know anything about this person. Is he a good expert writer or not yet from just writing one time? So those three things were all obvious to Rav Papa. Now, he set up his foundation for his question. Boy, Rav Papa can ask his question. Tlosa Kameya L'Chad Gavra. If this Kameya writer wrote three different Kameyas for one guy, my. So he writes A, B, and C all for Reuven. So what's the halach in this situation? Do we say Kameya Vaday Lo Ismachi? Each Kameya has only been used once time. So when Reuven got A, it healed him. When Reuven got B, it healed him. Reuven got C, it healed him. So you certainly can't tell me anything about the Kameya. So, Kameya Vade Lo Ismachi, that never was the question. That's not Rav Papa's question. The question is, what about this guy? Gavra Ismachi or Lo Ismachi? When he wrote the Kameya A, and he wrote Kameya B, and he wrote Kameya C, so they all worked. So, do we say he's a proven Kameya writer? Do we say Gavra Ismachi? Or do we say, Mi Amrinon, Ha'asile, the reason why he got better? An Asi is a physician, a healer. So, Ha'asile, the reason why Reuven got better was because he was an expert writer of Kameyas. Or, Dilma, Mazlo Dai Gavruhu, to call Makabu Ksova. Reuven happens to be protected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Kameya A, Kameya B, and Kameya C all worked for him. But who says this Kameya writer is any good? And that's what Rashi says over here. Maybe it's the Mazle Dai Gavruhu, Malacho Shecholi Zeh, the Makabu Kameya, the Malach in charge of this sick person over here. He let it work for this guy. And therefore, you can't tell me anything about this Kameya writer. And the Gemara says, Teiku, you're right, we don't have an answer over here. Rav Papa's question remains unanswered. We go weiter. Ibai Luda asks the following shayla. Kameyin yesh ba'am mishum kedusha, odilma ein ba'am mishum kedusha. These Kameyas, so they have various shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, various psukim inside of them, as we'll see in a second. So are those halachically considered like real Kedusha, and therefore you wouldn't be able to do something with them if they had Kedusha? We'll see what this means in a second. Or do we say, no, they don't have Kedusha, and therefore there's no problem doing something with them? So Gemara isn't sure, Lamai Hilchasa, what Halacha Lamaisa impact are you asking? Are you asking, Ilema Liatzulinu Mipnei Hadleika? Is the question over here, a Kameya is in a fire on Shabbos, so are you allowed to go and be mechal Shabbos to go and save this kameya in a way that wouldn't be an issur daraisa. As Rashi says, you're going to save it. Let's linu the Shabbos lechotzer. Now we have the girsa hameureves. Can you bring it from the house into a chotzer that has an eiver around it? Now you're allowed to do that, so that can't be what it's talking about. So everybody brings down. You see the Masoros Hashas, you see the Rabbi Kiv Eger, the Gilyon Hashas. They all say that the correct girsa should be over here lechotzer she'enam ureves. So that's an issur derabbanan to take it out of the house. So if this is something that you're required to save, so the rabbis never instituted the gzeira in such a situation. If this kameya has kedusha, so then the rabbis would want you to save it, and you'd be allowed to go take it out. Is that their question? Is that the question over here? Does this kameya have kedusha that you were asking? Does it have kedusha and you can save it on the Shabbos fire to the non-Erev yard? Or no, it doesn't have kedusha and you can't save it to the non-Erev yard. That we learned that already, Gemara says. That can't be the question. Toshma. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta. Habrachos v'hakameyin. It says beferish over there that if somebody wrote up the brachos of Eishmon Esrei, as Rashi points out over here, Shetiknu Chachomim, the rabbis had a special Shmon Esrei that they didn't know by heart. He go on Tishah Shel Rosh Hashanah, like the nine brachos Shmon Esrei they have on Rosh Hashanah. The first three and the last three are always the same, essentially. And then they had the three brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So they didn't know that, so they'd write it down. So that has certain Kedusha to it, has Psukim to it. It has these brachos over here, and the Kanaan also have these types of statements or brachos in them, even though these brachos that they wrote up and the kameyas that they would write up have inyonim of Torah, as Rashi says, miparishos harbe shekosu men es mikro shel refuah, they write in them various parashos that deal with the refuahs, as they kel nor refuah nor law, whatever they put in there, rapoy rapay, nevertheless, ematzilim osomim ben atleika, it says beferish, later in sechta, and daf kuf tezvav, that you're not allowed to go and save it. So that can't be the question that they're asking over here. Vinisrofim ben makom, you let him burn. Elo, what's your question? Linyan Geniza? Are you allowed to go, are you required to go put a kameya that's no longer being used into a Geniza? Do you have to put it in Shemos? We already asked that as well. Toshma, Hayakosov Al Yodos HaKelim. If you have something written on the handle of a kli, one of the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was written on the handle of a kli. Don't ask me why, that's what it was. Or Valkari Amita, or on the legs of a bed. So what's the din? You want to throw that away? You can't just throw it away. You have to go, your goad, the Yignizenu. You have to go and cut out the Shem of Hashem, and you have to put it in Shemos. As Rashi points out over here, Yikots, or some have the gear, so Yigor, Malkam Hashem, you have to cut out the place where the Shem of Hashem is written, and go put it away in a Geniza. Put it away in Shemos. So, again, asked and answered. What's your question about the Kameya? You see that if it has the Shem of Hashem inside of it, you have to go put it away. So, if this is true of the leg of a bed, or on the handle of pots, it's also true of a Kameya. So, that can't be the question. Elimor says, you know what the question was? Elikonis Bembebezakise, can you wear a kameya that has the shame of Hashem inside a bathroom? You know, you're not allowed to go put something in a bathroom, that's Kedusha. So is that the question? The question is over here, Yesh Bem Kedusha of the Osir, does the kameya have Kedusha to it, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to go bring it into the bathroom because of the shemos that are on it? Odilma, Amen Kedusha Ushari. Or do we say, no, Kameya doesn't have Kedusha, even though it has this name, it doesn't have Kedusha to it, and you can wear it into the bathroom. So that's the question that he was asking. So we'll try to bring a raya. Toshma, it says in our Mishnah, Veloba Kameya, Bizman Shehenu Min HaMumcha, you're not allowed to go carry Kameya on Shabbos, wear Kameya on Shabbos, if it's not a tried and tested Mumcha type of a Kameya. Implication being, Ha Min HaMumcha, if it was written by a pro, so then nothing, you are allowed to go out and wear it. Now wait a second. Why aren't we concerned if it has kedusha to it that you may come to take it off if you go to the bathroom? The amris kamei and yesh bem yishum kedusha. If you're going to say that a kamei does have kedusha, so then you know what, you're walking in the street and it's rishus harabim and you have to go to the bathroom. So you're not allowed to wear the kamei into the bathroom if that's kedusha. Zimnin the mitzvah lebeis akisa. You may need to go to the bathroom. Why weren't the rabbis gozer v'osi laisiyinu arbabos rishus harabim? And the rabbi should have decreed that you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. But they didn't make such a decree. Therefore, it must be that it doesn't have Kedusha to it. Because if it had Kedusha, the rabbis would have made a decree. You can't carry it. You can't wear it because you can come to carry it. Dalamas, which is a rabbin. But they didn't make such a decree. Oh, ergo, it must be that it doesn't have Kedusha. Where it says, no, not necessarily so. Askina, you know what we're talking about? The Kamei Ashali Karin. We're talking here about a non-shame amulet. There is no shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has certain types of herbs inside of it. It has roots inside of it over here. And these Ikarin, there's no problem. There's no Kedusha to them. Ah, if it had been Kedusha, if it in fact had been something that was a real amulet with a shame, so then you wouldn't be allowed to go into the bathroom. So the rabbis were only saying you can wear the kameya of Ikarin. Where it says, that's not what it said. The Brisa said, Echol kameya shel ksav, the Echol kameya shel Ikarin. The Brisa says, no, beferish, you can wear even a kameya shel ksav. So, again, we're back to our proof. The fact that the rabbis didn't make a gzera that you might come to carry Dal Amas versus the Rabbim must mean that the kameya doesn't have kedusha, that doesn't, and you're allowed to wear it into the bathroom. Where it says, no. We're dealing with a life-threatening illness. If it's a chol sheish b'sakana, so then even if you were to carry it over here, it's not a problem. So therefore, it's a life-threatening illness, and there's no reason to not allow it on Shabbos. But it doesn't tell us anything about Kedusha. If, in fact, it had Kedusha, and it wasn't life-threatening, you wouldn't be allowed to wear it into the bathroom. You wouldn't be allowed to wear it at all. So the Gemara says, Votanya, but that's not what the Braisa said. The Braisa said, Echad Cholo Shiyesh Bo Sakana, V'Echad Cholo Shiyein Bo Sakana. It's dealing with both. So again, the question returns. From the fact that the rabbis didn't make a gzera via that you might come to carry Dalai Lama Sushu Sarabim, it must not have Kedusha. Or it says, no, nope, still not ready to admit that. Ella, Kivan de Maase, since this Kameya over here is going to make him better, it's going to heal him, so then Afal Gab de Nokit Le Bidei, Nami Shaper Domi, because then it's not called carrying. He'd be allowed to go and wear it outside. As Rashi says, Tachshitohu, it's an ornament for him. Hilkach, Inami Maisele, Dalamus be a daim lo mechayiv. Even if he were to carry it, Dalamus in his hand, he wouldn't be chayiv in Isidarais over here. So it's only at most in Isidarabon, and the rabbis weren't goes in this situation. Mora doesn't like this still. Vatanya, Rav Hoshaya Omer, Ubuvach lo yachazeno biyodo, Vyavi renu aramus bishusarabim. Rabbi Oshaya says, Beferish, that's not true. You're not allowed to hold it in your hand. Even over here, if it came from a mumcha, you're not allowed to hold it into your hand. In this situation, you would be over an Isser. Rashi says, the lo have a tachshe. It's not considered a tachshe, and therefore you're only allowed to wear it. But if you'd carry it in your hand, you'd be over carrying. So, what are we talking about? Elugmor says, Hachem Mayaskin, you know what we're talking about, that this kameya was b'mechupe or. So even though it has Kedusha to it, nevertheless, the rabbis weren't gozer, you may come to carry Dal Amas Rishus Rabbim, because if it's covered up with or, it has a pouch around it, it has leather around it, so then in this situation, there is no problem, even though it has Kedusha, in bringing it into the bathroom. The mechupa or is allowed. Mora says, wait a second, you're not allowed to wear tefillin in the bathroom, and the tefillin are covered up. The Hari tefillin, the mechupa are, and yet, Votanya, Hanichlas Mesakise, Cholet tefillin, Arba Amos Vinichlas. You got to take your tefillin off before you go into the bathroom. So that's mechupa are. The box of the tefillin, which your parashios are in, that's mechupa are. How come that, if this is true, that there's no problem with an amulet that's mechupa are, how come there's a problem with tefillin that's mechupa are? Where it says, no, it's not what's inside the tefillin that's the problem. That would be covered up. Hasam mishum shin. The shin of the tefillin that's visible on the outside of your sharosh. Oh, that's one of the name letters of the name of Shakai. The shin from the sharosh. The dalet from the back knot of your sharosh. And the yud from the knot of your shoyad. So that spells out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Shakai. So the shin is one of the letters of the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shin, which is not mechupa b'or, it's outside the or. That's the reason why you can't go into the bathroom. But you can't bring me any raya that if an amulet is mechupa b'or, that therefore the kedusha may or may not be there, but it's covered up. Amulets are covered up. So therefore you can't bring me raya that there is kedusha or there is no kedusha to an amulet. And by the way, the Gemara says, the Amar Abayi, shin shel tefillin, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. As I just told you, the shin of the tefillin, that happens to be halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that the tefillin shel rosh has to have it, as a shin on the right side, a shin on the left side. They're slightly different. One is a three-legged shin, one's a four-legged shin. Again, a lot of halachas about that. In any event, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And that's why you can't go into the bathroom with the tefillin. It has nothing to do with whether the amulet has kedusha, not because the amulet is mechupa, so we can't tell. If it has kedusha, it's covered up. If it doesn't have kedusha, it didn't need to be covered up, but the bottom line is it's covered up. You can't answer our question. Once we quoted Abaya for this, we also quote Abaya, at least according to the Girsa that we have, Yamar Abaya, Dalet Shel Tefillin, Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Dalet, which is at the back of the Shel Rosh, the knot at the back of the Shel Rosh, which is made by two Dalets, together. So that is also Halacha Moshe Sinai. From Abaye, the Yud Shel Tefillin, the Yud that we have on the knot of the Shoyad, is also Halacha Moshe Sinai. Tosa says not everybody is Goris this, and in fact, some aren't Goris over here. The second statement over here of Abaye about the Dalet of the Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Yud of the Tefillin Shoyad. In any event, that concludes that discussion about Kameyas. Finally, we conclude the Mishnah. We quote the Mishnah. It said, "V'lo b'shiryon." You're not allowed to go on a Shabbos with a shiryon. "V'lo b'kazda." "V'lo b'magafayim." And we explained the Mishnah. We had said that these are all various types of protective armor. The shiryon is something that you wear armor on your body, and the kazda is the helmet, and the magafayim is like the shin guards, and this covers up your entire body. So why can't you go out with this on Shabbos? So our Gemara doesn't say so. Rashi on Daf Samach Dalet tells us. It's because of Maris Ayin. If you're going out to Muhammad, you're allowed to wear it. A soldier in modern day Tzal is allowed to carry his weapon with him on Shabbos. It's Pikuach Nefashos. Of course he can do it. But if you're doing it for another reason, so then you might not be allowed to. So therefore, if people see you wearing your gear, your war gear over here, your armor, they may say, oh, he's not going out for a halachically permissible reason. He's going out for a non-halachically permissible reason. It would be a Maris Ayin concern. And that's why Rashi says, our Mishnah says, you shouldn't go out with these things. And the word just defines what these things are. Shiryon is something called Zrada. Rashi says a foreign language word for this. And on the side, it says that it means Matbeos Kitanos, like small coins. It's like an armor that's made of a little pieces of metal, all connected together. What is the Kazda, the helmet? So Amar Rav, he says Sanvarta. It means a Sanvarta. Rashi over here says this is Kova or Tachas Kova Hamatechas. There's like the leather hood that they wear underneath the metal helmet. Okay. And Magafayim, what is that? So Rashi tells us over here, the Gemara says, rather, Amar Rav Pushmake, and Rashi says, this is Ampilio Shobarzo B'Muhammad. This is like lead socks. This is like a shin guard over here. This is the bottom part of your body being protected by armor. So all of these things, Rashi later on tells us, because of Maris Ayin, you can't go out with them on Shabbos. Of course, with Pikuach Nefashos, you can, but Stam, if it's not with Pikuach Nefashos, then you're not allowed to. That concludes today's shir.